are on a Lord's Table Sunday, back into the Gospel of John, thinking about gospel conversations. And in the Gospel of John, it's conversations that Jesus has with another individual. And we are in John chapter 11 and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's a long account of this raising of Lazarus from the dead. There's many different angles to this to think about, and we can't do all of that today. And so we are focusing in on the conversation between Jesus and Martha primarily. And so that starts down in your Bible, and let me see if we can find the verse there. Let's start at verse about 18. So John chapter 11, verse 18, and again, it would be good to read the previous part of the passage, but I'll explain some of this and then try and not go too long with this, but some important things to think about. Verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now, their brother's name is Lazarus, and at this point, he has died. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. So, here we have the conversation between Martha and Jesus. I've broken it down into 6 different interactions. Martha, Jesus, you know, back and forth. And so Martha, therefore, when she heard in verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you had just been here. Now, to understand the setting just a little bit, Jesus has spent time in Galilee, and then he spends time up in Judea in Jerusalem. And these are 2 different parts of Israel, Galilee to the north, Judea to the south. Galilee, the lowlands around the Sea of Galilee. Judea, the highlands going uphill to Jerusalem. Jerusalem being where the religious leaders are and where it is more dangerous. In fact, Jesus has just spent John chapter 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 up in Jerusalem. And he has healed the man born blind, and that made the Jews mad. And then he had conversations with them about, and he said in chapter 10, before Abraham was, I am. And they were ready to stone him at that time. And so he left and went to Galilee. He actually went down to what they call the Transjordan. So he crossed over the Jordan River down in Galilee where John the Baptist had begun baptizing disciples all those years ago. And so now, once he gets down there, he receives word from Mary and Martha, we assume, hey, Lazarus is sick, would you please? And he doesn't come back right away. He doesn't immediately drop everything and go, and so he waits. And then he waits, and then he goes. Once he hears that Lazarus has died, then he goes. And it's as though then that Martha is saying to him, Jesus, if you had been here, he would have died, but you were too late. Well, go a little bit further here into that verse. But she says in verse 22, even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus seemed to have in the eyewitness, the understanding of people, that Jesus had a peculiarly close relationship with the Lord. God may not answer my prayers, but I'm sure, pretty sure he would answer Jesus' prayers. Now, exactly what Martha expects at this point, we don't know. Is she actually saying, if you ask God to raise him from the dead, he would? I'm not sure if that's exactly in her mind. And we get that then from the next line. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, what do you think when Jesus says, your brother will rise again? What I think when I hear that is this. Yeah, I know someday he will rise again. But I'm not really worried about someday. I'm worried about today. And that is the dilemma that we have. The title of the message that I have given is Jesus, Lord of Now and Forever. But in the here and now, we are much more sure that Jesus is Lord of forever than we are that Jesus is Lord of right now. I know we believe it in our heads, but we don't believe it sometimes with our feelings, that God can actually handle this. And so, Jesus, you're too late. If you'd been here, but you came too late. And then we go on a little bit more, and Martha responds to that statement of Jesus in verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So that seems to confirm my suspicion that she thinks it's too late. So I want to go over a couple of points with you, some things that I wrote down in my notes, and I think I can read them with maybe not talking too long about them, though I find this fascinating. She didn't understand some things about Jesus. She knows that he is the Son of God and that will exercise authority forever. But right now is a mess, and I don't know if Jesus can help me with this. That's a problem. So, the first point that I have is Jesus leads his life in this world according to divine appointment. Jesus leads his life in this world according to divine appointment. That is, that Jesus does what he does because that's the right thing to do at that time. I'm going to give you a couple illustrations of this. Jesus was coming towards Jerusalem one time from Jericho. As he heads out of Jericho up the hill towards Jerusalem, there's a man in a tree. His name is Zacchaeus. Well, isn't that lucky? No, it's not lucky that Zacchaeus was there. It's a divine appointment. It was at that particular time that Jesus wanted to meet that man so that his life would be changed and so that that testimony is given that Jesus saves sinners, even people like Zacchaeus. The next one that I have, the woman at the well. Jesus decides to go through Samaria, and it just happens that this woman shows up at the well at noon, a time when most women don't go to the well because it's too hot then, and so he has to come. It didn't just happen. It is a divine appointment. It happens for a reason. And again, I could tell the story, the demoniac at the tombs. I would think that a demon-filled man at the tombs in the Gadarenes on the wrong side of the Sea of Galilee in territory that's full of pigs, which is a place Jews don't like to go, that you've got to say, yeah, that's a divine appointment. Jesus wasn't supposed to be there. In a man filled with demons, it doesn't seem like he's going to go running towards Jesus. It seems like he would go running away from Jesus, but he can't. Why? Because it's a divine appointment. The boy with the loaves and the fishes at the feeding of the 5,000. Why was he there? And where was his mother? I guess he was allowed to go. I don't know. The text doesn't tell if his mother was there. But he's there. And after that day, he goes home and says to his mom, it was a great day. And she says, well, did you eat your lunch? And he says, yeah, everybody did. She said, no, they didn't. It was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was barely enough for you. It's not going to be it. No, Mom, really? Everybody ate my lunch. Do you think that boy's life was changed? Because he had a divine appointment. Did Jesus need the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000? No. But he wanted that appointment with that little boy when he took his lunch and said, watch this. And so Martha's not thinking that. Martha at this point is thinking, Jesus, you missed your appointment. You were late. So my next point is this. Jesus is always on time. He's never early and he's never late. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Jesus says, okay, you say you keep all the commandments, but now do this. Go sell everything that you have and give it away, and then come follow me. And the man says, I can't do that. I've got too much stuff. Seems like maybe that conversation was too early. But no, if Jesus operates by divine appointment and he's never early, then that was the right time. Maybe the rich young ruler was too late. We don't know if he ever came to Christ later on. We just don't know that. But he's never late. And so as we come to the passage here with Martha, he's not late. Why is he not late? Well, because of what he's been doing. And so if you have your Bibles open and look back at the end of John chapter 10, verse 40, he went away again beyond the Jordan, and so we call it the Transjordan, to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. There were people coming to Christ, believing in him, and finding salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. Here on the wrong side of the Jordan River, many people believed in him, and their lives were changed. Not just their lives were changed, their eternal destiny was changed. Jesus had a divine appointment, and Martha thought, "You're late." You know, Jesus doesn't waste time. Everything that he does is the proper thing to do in the proper time. And if we criticize Jesus because he's late, it's not him that's wrong, it's us. Jesus doesn't waste time. Jesus doesn't watch 19 hours of coverage about a plane crash out east. But some of us do. Jesus doesn't spend time in heaven at the right hand of the Father watching YouTube videos or Facebook reels. He doesn't do that. He's got stuff to do. Jesus doesn't watch reruns of Gunsmoke, for Pete's sake. So why do we? Why do we waste time as followers of Jesus doing dumb stuff that fills our minds with goofy things? Why don't we get on with it and do something? Read your Bible, for Pete's sake. Call your neighbor. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Make a muffin and take it to somebody. Do something. Jesus didn't waste time. That convicts me about wasting time. And I figure if I'm going to be convicted, you guys should be convicted too. That's how I was thinking about that. One other thing that we need to understand is that on earth, Jesus is only one place at a time. He's got a physical body. And so as a physical body, Jesus could only be in one place at a time. If he's across the Jordan, he can't be on the other side of the Jordan at the same time. If he's in Galilee, he can't be in Judea at the same time. He was limited during his earthly visit here to do the one thing that he could do at the time, and he always did the right thing at the proper time by divine appointment, but was the thing that he needed to do. And Martha and Mary, because we know, have talked about this because she says the very same thing down in verse 32 when she comes to talk to Jesus. Jesus, or Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same words, same exact words as Martha up above. So they talk. So Jesus comes when he comes. He comes, and down at verse 32, verse 31, then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly, went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came to Jesus where he was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled in spirit, and said, where have you laid him? They said, come, Lord, and see. And then Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? And I don't know that I have the definitive answer for this, but I've got the one that fits the point of my message well. But there could be several different reasons. Perhaps he was sorry for the sorrow of Martha and Mary. Perhaps he was sorry about the condition of death of his friend Lazarus. Perhaps he was grieved at the fact that people didn't understand that when they believed in him, he wasn't just the Lord of forever, but that he's the Lord of this moment as well, this predicament as well. He's Lord of this also. He's not just an abstract Jesus that takes care of abstract things, but he is the Jesus that's right here that matters right now. And Martha and Mary had come to question that because he was late, according to their estimation of things. And so then we come through and we'll read the rest, at least to the punchline of this story. Verse 36 says then, so the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Notice what they said, kept him from dying. If he had come on time, he could have kept him from dying. So Jesus, again, deeply moved within him. Why? Perhaps because they saw him as Lord of forever, but not Lord of now. Came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. We do know how death works, right? That death, the instant it begins, everything stops. It's not a slow-moving thing. The lights go out. The synapses stop snapping. The neurological links are not linked anymore. All of these things are broken. The electrical system, the heart's not... The moment that your blood's not carrying oxygen to all these cells all through our bodies, it's death, death, death multiplied. Death had descended on Lazarus and had taken possession of him. And that's why we say at the funeral home, we say, well, that's the body of Grandpa, but Grandpa's not here. He's with the Lord, because clearly what's there is done. The person who's dead looks dead. They can paint him up. But the person who's dead, death is real. Now, Jesus, then, she says, Martha says, oh, no, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days, and we know what happens. And so the death is preceded or associated with a whole bunch of unseemly things. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And she can't even begin to think this next thought, because she has a belief in Jesus that is true beliefs, but it doesn't reach down to the ground so that the rubber actually meets the road, that it actually penetrates the uncomfortableness of the present situation. So they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings. His face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And Jesus steps into that moment by divine appointment at exactly the right time, not too early, not too late, to do what needed to be done at that moment so that people could see that Jesus matters now and forever. I do think sometimes those of us now in this age when we aren't there for these events, but we read them on the page, we can develop a rather theoretical faith of Jesus. And we believe in Jesus in theory, but in practice, it's much more difficult. And so to bring it to the ground and to understand that when we are in our moment of trial, Jesus matters. And no, we don't know exactly how he's going to show up. We know that when he does, it'll be the right time. And we don't always know today that he will do exactly what we want him to do when we want him to do it. But we know that he will do what's best. And that he is the Lord of now and forever. And so we've got to treat Jesus like a real person. The real person who is indeed the resurrection and the life. The one who is able to make the supreme difference. Now, this is a pointer in John chapter 11. This is one of the signs. Signs are pointers to another incident, and it's the incident that we, episode that we think about when we come to the Lord's table. An even greater thing that Jesus did when he hung on the cross for us. Jesus, Lord of time, at just the right time, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, was arrested by those soldiers, at just the right time, talked to Pilate, the governor from Rome, at just the right time, was led by the soldiers, and was nailed to the cross so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins, to escape the condemnation that goes along with our sins, and to have it replaced with justification and Jesus' righteousness, and to have the hope of eternal life. But that hope of eternal life even invades today. Jesus is Lord of forever, but he's also Lord of whatever it is that you're scared of, whatever it is that you're worried about, whatever it is that could happen tomorrow that you don't know about yet, Jesus is Lord of that too. Let's remember that, and let's put that faith to work. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray then as we meet together that you would help us to take into our hands the bread and the cup, and to remember that Jesus is not just a theory. He's not an abstract truth. That Jesus, the Son of God, from eternity past to eternity future, actually came into this world and took on human flesh so that he could die for us. He rose again from the grave, and even today at the right hand of the Father, he still is clothed in human flesh in one place at a time. But he's given his Spirit to us to multiply that ministry in so many different ways. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.